I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Did your mom, when you were little, ever say, like, sing that song, like, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? I'm pretty sure that was about crack. Anyways, welcome back to the Witchful Thinking Podcast, everyone. We are recording on a Tuesday night because that's our brand.
Shit happens.
And
you have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we have plenty to talk about. Shit happens and you find time to record around it. That's our motto. So to start things off, I will just say that I got to tell you this story about this wedding this weekend.
Yeah, tell me.
So for the listeners who don't know, my best friend from college, Kirsten, got married this weekend, and she is now Mrs. Kirsten Cunningham Kling, and I was in her wedding, and it was so beautiful, and unfortunately, a lot of people weren't wearing masks, so now I am quarantining myself for 2 weeks, praying that I don't have coronavirus, but listen to this story. So, this is so bad. So on Friday night, we were staying, the bridesmaids were staying at the bridal suite with her. Gorgeous place, so pretty. And I mean, like, dude, I don't drink, like, you know me, like, I don't drink. I had one drink, one. I wasn't even tipsy, honestly, like, I was not tipsy. I was really fine. And in this bridal suite, there was a shower. And it was like a glass door shower, one of those like really fancy, pretty ones with like the super thick ass glass door. And it was like one you could pretty much, here goes this dog. Hold on. Hold the fuck up. It was one of those really pretty glass doors that reaches the ceiling pretty much. And you gotta like open the door, whatever. So I was looking through my bag about the shower and I'm like, I don't remember if I brought soap with me. And then I noticed that there's like this big bottle of like St. Ives or something in the shower. So I was like, oh wait, like let me look closer and make sure that that's soap and not shampoo. Bitch, I was like one of them fucking Windex birds. I'm not kidding you. I ran my face head first into this glass door so fucking hard that my lip busted. My lip busted. For any of you who follow me on Instagram and you saw that my bloody lip on my Instagram story, that is what happened. I ran into a shower glass door so hard because it was so clean and I didn't realize it was there.
Damn.
And it gets worse. Damn. So my lip stops bleeding and I was like, oh great, like I'm fine. Like I just got an enamelplasty done on my four front teeth, which is like they round out the little like ridges that never fully flattened if you have an overbite. And I was like, immediately, like, oh my God, like, I need to check my teeth, like, make sure they're not chipped. Like, I just had this dental work done and like, I'm almost done with Invisalign. What if I fuck myself up? So everything seemed fine. Well, two mornings ago, I was in Maryland at Steven's mom's house, and all of a sudden my left front tooth starts to hurt. And I'm like, this is not good. I'm pretty sure this is like the tooth that smacked my lip when my lip busted. Like, something's not right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like searing pain, but it didn't feel good. And I was like really very aware of the tooth. Like, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So I come home and, you know, I can't stop staring at my tooth, and I call my dentist's office. They're closed on the weekends, but I left like an emergency message, and they make me an appointment for the next day. And I go in, and he takes x-rays and pictures, and he's like, everything, like, nothing's wrong. Like, your tooth isn't cracked. Nothing's wrong. Your nerve, there's no nerve damage. Like, you didn't hit it that hard. And I was like, then why does it hurt? He's like, I'm not sure. Let me write you a referral, like, for an endodontist in case, like, you really just gotta know if something's wrong.
Yeah.
So today it's not bothering me. I kind of think that maybe it was a combination of hitting my head really hard on the door, and also I've been using whitening mouthwash.
Okay, that stuff makes your teeth so sensitive.
Yeah.
I already have sensitive teeth, and whitening anything makes my teeth sensitive, and it almost feels like they get really sensitive to super cold and super hot foods and drinks. But then even if I'm not eating or drinking it, I still feel that sensitivity.
Yeah.
And then probably that, like, with you smacking your lip so hard on it, maybe it probably just made your, like, that area sore.
But like, when I look, you can't tell, like, you can't tell on the camera at all. I know you won't be able to, but when I look in like direct sunlight, I can see that like the bottom of my tooth on the crown, the enamel doesn't look as thick as it normally does. And he was like, that couldn't have happened from you smacking your tooth on the door. Like, that happens over time to like everybody. But if you're using whitening stuff, you should probably stop. And I'm like, fuck me. See, I'm over here.
How am I going to get white teeth?
Yeah. How the hell am I supposed to have white teeth?
If it makes you feel any better, 2 weeks ago, our whole apartment complex lost power. And I went out, like, the first thing that probably every nosy ass person does is I go out on my porch, because I'm like, what's happening? I need to see if something's outside. Nothing's outside. The power just went out. But everybody's out on their porch with their phone flashlights. And I go out, and I have accidentally locked my cat out on the porch overnight before, because I didn't know he snuck out there. So I made sure to close the screen door so he didn't do that again. And I forgot that I closed the screen door, and we lost power. And as I was coming back in, I turned the flashlight like off on my phone, and I smashed so fucking hard into the screen door. I'm shocked I didn't go straight through it. And which I have done before. I have run through a screen door, through it, because I was going so damn fast. I went straight through it. And I hit it so hard that it felt like I got smacked. I thought I broke my nose, actually, because it turned purple. It was swollen, and it ended up just going away like the next 2 days. But I thought I broke it.
God.
So hopefully that makes you feel a little better. I wasn't drunk either.
Dude, I wonder if we did it like at the same time.
Oh my God. The universe is like, they both need to wake the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, the universe is like, these bitches need a wake up call. So
let us know if you've run into any doors recently too. I'd love to know.
Is this a metaphor for something? Like, are we supposed to be running into the doors of truth or something? Like, what is going on?
Speaking of, Brooke and I were talking this week, and we feel there's an overwhelming theme of the year, and this like definitely gets more into like serious conversations. but we feel like this year has a message and on multiple different areas, and the message is I can't breathe. And obviously that's connected with Black Lives Matter, and it's connected with people who are protesting masks saying they can't breathe, and it's connected to all the fires happening and smoke. Literally people in California and Oregon, Washington, Colorado can't get away from the smoke, and especially on the farthest west coast, the smoke is now in people's homes. They can't escape from it, and they can't breathe. People are wearing masks in their homes.
Yeah, that's like, I was telling Rose the other day, my friend Kayla's boyfriend lives in Oregon, and he is wearing a mask in his house because the smoke is so thick in the house, and they have like baby kittens with no, like, there's nowhere for them to go. All of their family lives in Oregon. Like, they don't have anywhere they can evacuate to, and it's just like those kittens are like not gonna make it, and there's like nothing they can do about it because the smoke is like infiltrating everyone's homes. And like today, right now when we're recording, today is National Greenpeace Day, and that blows my mind because it's like, oh, like what's the fucking irony in that? Like, the day where you're supposed to be out here protesting you know, the wrongful treatment of the environment, and you can't even, people on the West Coast can't even like go out of their homes without literally choking. And it's just, you know, it's so crazy that this entire choking. Yeah, like it's as if you weren't having enough problems breathing already, whether you have COVID or you are recovering from COVID and you still can't breathe, because that's a lasting effect, is like fucked up breathing, or you're just trying to walk around and wear a mask and not get COVID. Now you have to wear a mask to not breathe in smoke.
I told you over a text that Nathan and I have full respirator masks ready in case we need them. And we actually purchased these masks at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, because I mean, we heard pandemic and like, we're like, okay, this is some shit. And so we got cloth masks, we ordered a few medical masks, and we ordered full on respirator masks because we had no idea how bad it was gonna get. And we were already struggling to get, that was when toilet paper was like unattainable, hand sanitizer was unattainable, and we didn't want to be in a situation where we needed this thing and didn't have it. So we got them. And honestly, now, like, people don't need that maybe necessarily for COVID. I mean, sure, like, it'll definitely protect you. But I mean, we participated in the BLM protests when they first started happening in Denver, like the first week. We thought we were going to need them for that because, like, were we going to get tear gas? It's a whole face covering with the respirators. And now it's like, oh, maybe we need them because the fires are going to get so bad that smoke's going to be in our house.
That's actually honestly today. That's so incredibly terrifying. Like, I can't even imagine that type of stress. I'm so fucking sorry you guys have to go through that. I'm sorry anybody has to, but like, it worries me so badly, just like knowing that. I'm glad you guys have the masks, but it fucking sucks that you even have to like entertain the idea that that might happen. Or like your cats, like your dog, like.
If it were to get bad enough, I will leave. Like, I'm very lucky, and I only have the ability to leave because I have people elsewhere. I have somewhere to go. Like, if I didn't have somewhere to go, I don't know what I would do. Like, my cat is my child, and there are probably people who understand that listening to this, and maybe there are people who aren't, but I don't know, like, I will do anything to save my damn cat, okay? Like, I will give the respirator to my cat, so. But luckily, we are very lucky. It's not that bad here. Our crazy-ass snow storm that happened last week really saved our tail. It cleared up the air and it also helped to put out some of the fires, but it didn't, I mean, we got 4 inches of snow in the Denver area, and then the mountains got, which is where things are on fire, they got a little bit more. I think they got max 7 or 8 inches, and it still didn't put out all the fires. And just 2 days ago, the fires reached a small town and burnt down 25 homes.
And that's insane.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, so we've definitely had to deal with just tons and tons of smoke being in the air. But last week was the first time that ash was falling from the sky. And I went to the grocery store, and just walking from my car into the grocery store, I got ash particles in my eye. And when you came back out to your car is covered in ash.
Oh my God. It's literally like apocalyptic, dude.
Yeah. And then like the skies being red in California and in Oregon. I mean, like I saw some of these photos and I was like, there is a filter on that thing, right? No. I mean, it looks apocalyptic. The governor of Oregon, she came out and said, like, this is apocalyptic. We're going to lose people. Shit's bad. Shit's really bad. And then our president has the nerve to literally just say, well, why don't you rake the damn forest? There's a 5-year-old running this country, okay? Like, firefighters or department heads of fire management met with him, and people have probably seen this by now, the video of them saying we need to work with science to combat vegetation management and climate change, because it's a combination of the two. Also, California only owns 3% of their forests. The federal government owns the rest. So even if Trump was right and raking the forests was all it needed, California doesn't own that shit. He does.
Yeah, so you go rake your fucking forest, dumbass.
Go tell someone to rake it and see if it works. But that's not going to work. But they're
go see if it works.
They're pleading with him, like, please, we need to work with science. We need to get help from science, and we need to do something now. And he goes, it'll get cooler. Just watch. Like, thank you for predicting the winter season, but what about next summer, you fucking idiot? What about right now?
Yeah, Steven used to live in California when he was a kid, like for most of his childhood. And when I told him about the fires, because normally Steven's like very up to date on like current events, but he's been fishing a lot, so he just hasn't been on his phone, so he misses a lot.
Been on a boat without internet for like 3 months or something.
Yeah, he was on a boat for half the summer. Like, this man's out of it a little bit, but thankfully he has me.
Yeah.
So, but anyways. he lived in California, and I was like, have you been reading like the stuff about the fires? And he was like, yeah, isn't it just like their regular, like scheduled man created like fires, like to clear out, you know, brush? So, and I was like, no. He goes, are you sure? Because people seem to get mad every year about them doing these fires, even though they do them so that they're like natural disasters don't happen. I was like, no. This is different. This is a gender reveal caused most of this shit to go down. Someone, can this just be a sign that we need to stop with gender reveals? Can we just fucking stop?
I feel like we just need to stop. I don't know. I was thinking about this for a long time, whole gender reveal thing, because I get it. It's exciting. You're having a baby. It's gonna be one of two things, we know. And like, I think it's almost become kind of how on social media, especially with like influencers, and it's almost about like having a wedding and you have to like have the most photographed or beautiful aesthetic wedding. And I totally get it. Like, I wanted beautiful aesthetic photos from when I got married too. But we're kind of in an age of trying to like one up each other on social media at the same time. And it's like, did you really need an explosive to announce the gender? And I don't understand the explosive. I don't get it. And I'm not like against gender reveals, but like, I think there is a line. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I get not everybody wants to like have like a blue or pink cake and cut into it, or, you know, all the different things that people do nowadays, but
yeah,
the fire, out of control.
The fire was just like fucking unnecessary. Like, that did not need to happen. I don't understand, like, why, what, I mean, imagine how stupid that mother-to-be feels. She must feel dumb as shit.
Yeah. Like, California, dry forest, explosives, fire. Like, none of those, they just weren't thinking. They weren't thinking. And you know why? It's a lack of education. And it's a lack of education about climate change. And we don't, there are just people who don't realize that this is real shit. It's happening. And you can't take your explosives out to the fields of California anymore. Sorry.
Like, could you not have picked a worse time to do this? Really, Jan?
I know. Is that baby gonna grow up and find out that, I mean, at some point that baby's gonna figure out, like, that gender reveal was for them.
Or the baby is gonna grow up and be the most hated baby, like that giant baby that everybody was making fun of months ago. Giant baby. Gender reveal fire baby.
Speaking of babies, have you seen the 2020 baby memes that are just, like, and it's babies being, like, pictures of grumpy babies, and they're saying, like, I was born in 2020. What the fuck? I don't even want to be here.
Yeah, it's like, I was born in 2020. What's your excuse?
Right?
Baby yeah. comes out. That baby, those babies are mad. They come out. They already have $80,000 in student loan debt. They're already, like, mad as fuck.
Yeah, they come out with debt for being born. I mean, you do. You do.
Pretty much. You come out with them.
Any parent that gives birth in a hospital, that baby has, you come home with baby in debt.
pretty fucking much. You know what I just remembered that we were going to record about today?
What?
It goes right in with this fire conversation. We were going to talk about Mars being retrograde in Aries.
Oh.
That is what we were talking about. Okay. The fact that all these fires are happening is very coincidental with the fact that Mars is retrograde in Aries from September 9th to November 13th. And I feel like we've said this many times before. We've talked about Mars before on this podcast. Mars, for anyone who doesn't remember, Mars is a planet of fire and passion and aggression. And Aries is pretty much right in sync with all of those, like, traits. So of course the fucking world's on fire. Like,
I mean, Mars is the planet of the god of war. And I mean we're going to war with multiple different things right now. Mm-hmm. All simultaneously, like, worldwide, not even contained in the US. And yeah, I mean, if there's something that you blatantly need a smack in the face for as a sign for a lot of things, I mean, I'm not happy about it, but, like, it makes sense.
I still want to know why I had to smack a door. Like, that served me no purpose whatsoever.
I still don't understand that one, fucker.
All I did yesterday was cry. And the day before, all I did was cry because I was like, my tooth is going to die. I damaged it. It's going to turn gray and fall out. Like, universe, what the fuck? I'm about to name this episode, universe, what the fuck?
Please do.
But, so on cafeastrology.com, it says, retrograde Mars is often connected to warmer than usual weather. Mars spends its time in Aries for the full retrograde cycle this time around. Mars is the natural planetary ruler of Aries, by the way. So there's that. And then also, I think that this website tells you what each sign can expect. during the retrograde in Mars. So let's look and see what they say about Cancer. Hold on.
The most important one.
No, yeah, because it's us. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm annoying. they've got, so they have like your sun sign and your rising. So this is for Cancer or Cancer ascendant. All Mars retrograde cycles particularly affect you in terms of your career, professional life. Oh my God, wait, you, ambition, public relations, and your reputation, because Mars rules these areas of your life in your solar chart. Stalling, snags, challenges, or seemingly setbacks might alert you to the need to reorganize your energy and enthusiasm for these matters, reassess goals, or to change and adjust plans. Bro, that smacks me right in the face, because my pattern literally said the same thing the other day, is like, you need to reorganize your life creatively. Like, you're slacking in some area of your life. And I've been slacking on my YouTube channel.
Oh, shit. I wonder what that one says.
But it says, because this 9-week retrograde cycle occurs in a Mars-ruled sector, it's a double whammy. Affects you in career, responsibilities, and reputation. Your enthusiasm or motivation for work, responsibilities, and public or professional matters may falter, or you might return to old projects to firm them up or redo them. So pretty much it just goes on to say, like, it's for us and also for Cancer ascendants, it's all about work, which I think is very interesting, because drumroll,
I got the interview I manifested. Go me. Okay. So I've been trying something that I saw from someone who I follow, who she's just all about manifestation. And that's like all of her content. And I've been trying this new thing that she does. And I did it yesterday for the first time. And then I got the call today that I have an interview on Friday for... So it's still for an admin job. It's totally, it's a little bit different though. It's an executive assistant position, and it's to a department head at the university I attend. So not only would I be like, it would be a nice step up, but like if I have to work for anybody, I do like working in education fields, and they're just really diverse, and like they obviously appreciate education, and also I get a tuition discount, even though I'm like practically done with my degree now, but whatever, I'll take it. So it would just like, that's what I've been wanting, is just, I've just been in such a rut with the job that I have now, and even though it still involves admin work, like I've just literally had it with where I've been working, and I'm not fulfilled. I just need something new, and this would be a nice step up for me. But what I tried was, it was like this manifestation technique, and it's about like telling the universe what you want and then physically grabbing the air and pulling it towards you and doing this. And I don't know, it's okay, how do I describe this for people listening? And you just do that on repeat and you look like a fucking weirdo, but like, put yourself in the right headspace, think about your intention, what you want, tell the universe, this is what I want. And it's essentially like you're going up and you're grabbing it and you pull it down towards you, and you do that. And you kind of look like you're in an 80s like exercise video. <You know?
laughs> I love it.
And just really focusing on like what you want and being like, bitch, give this to me, is what I want.
Damn, send me that video, girl. I want to try that shit.
And it's just like, and you can also do it while you're dancing, because I think the dance, like free flow dancing, I don't know how to dance. I can't dance. But like, I've really been embracing free flow dancing and just moving the way my body wants to move and not giving a shit at how it looks or if it's a dance or if it's stupid. Just like listening to music and moving how I naturally want to move. And so like doing that, listening to music too, and like you just start feeling yourself. You're like, bitch, I told the universe, give me that interview and I'll get it. Like, I don't even need your help, I can get it, just give me the interview.
You're gonna get it. You already have it.
I already have it.
You already
It's already written in the book. I just haven't got, that's the next chapter.
Oh my God. That is the coolest thing ever. Who's the person that made the video?
I don't know. It's something, it's somebody who I follow on Instagram. I'm going to have to find her.
Because I follow so many and I've heard of the 55 by 5, 32 by 32 or 33 by 30, whatever. All of those, but I've never heard about the fit, like physically doing like a little.
Like there's probably a name for it too. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
I'm gonna call that the reach out and grab that shit.
Grab that bitch.
That is like, and it's such a very like positively aggressive way of like getting what you want, like physically reaching for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. I like that.
And I also got the call, like I got the call for this interview at 2:22.
You already got the job.
I'm just saying. I was telling you too, because so the company I work for now, it's an engineering firm. We do tons of work for the university I attend. And I thought this guy was calling about a project. And I was about to ask him, like, yeah, sure. What project are you calling about? and it took me just a second. But... yeah, so I'm excited. Send me good witchy vibes.
Yeah, everybody light a little orange or green candle or a white one for Rose so that she gets this job and can move on to the next part of her life. Because I feel like it's very hard right now for people to feel as if they have any control over moving on to the next steps in their life. Like this whole year just feels like it's on hold, but like regardless, we have to remember we're still alive and growing and aging, and you got to make shit happen like somehow.
Yeah. I've been so conflicted during this whole pandemic, and I simultaneously feel suspended. Like I'm literally stuck in a pool of jello. Like that's the only way I can describe it. Like I want to go places, but I can't. And I also at the same time feel this like empowerment and like I can do whatever I want. Sure, you want a new job, it's the middle of pandemic, go get one. Sure, whatever, it's you can get one. Start your business in the middle of pandemic, sure, whatever. But I so like I have this ambition and this want and like this empowerment that I've never felt before, but then also like sometimes depression kicks in and it's like you're stuck, bitch. And like I feel both on a daily basis. So does anybody else feel like that? Please tell me somebody else feels like that.
I'm sure somebody is nodding their head and listening and in agreeance. There's always somebody.
And there are days for sure that the side of me that's like, you're stuck, you can't do anything, the world is stuck. Like there are days that definitely takes over my like empowered side that like wants to kick ass and I feel like poop all day long and I cry all day long. And then there are days that I feel like a boss ass bitch and I'm like, I can do anything. And it's just like, it's kind of emotional whiplash, honestly.
Yeah. I've noticed this year more than ever. Actually, this is the first year that I have been aware of, like, when I feel really, really good, I look at myself feeling good, and I'm like, this is such a polar opposite from you laying in bed crying, and I'm just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like I'm very acutely able to observe the fact that, like, I feel so good right now. It makes me sad right now to even think that I could never like not feel like this. I don't even know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I have days like that too. When you're feeling good. You end up. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes I have a little bit of like mania a little bit because my highs are like pretty high. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to film this and I'm going to get ready and I'm going to edit my video and I'm going to sit down and do this podcast. And then the next day I'm like, do you want to just record in 4 days because I'm fucking depressed?
Yeah. I definitely asked my therapist if she thinks I have mania because I experience the same stuff. And I don't have mania, but I also act like I have mania at the same time.
I think everybody can be a little bit manic, you know, like it for sure. Everybody's got a little bit of those tendencies. And that, I mean, that's where you got to be careful, because you don't want to group yourself in to having some type of disease you don't have, because that kind of like, it's just, it's like saying like, oh, I'm OCD about that. Like, you shouldn't say that if you don't have fucking OCD.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Also, mental health note of the day is, if you have health insurance and you have been wanting to get therapy, but we're concerned about costs, even with health insurance, because even when you have health insurance in the United States, you still freak out about costs. Currently, and I had no idea, but my therapy right now is totally free. And my therapist told me that the majority of insurance providers are making therapy free, but they're not advertising it because they don't want everybody to go out and get free therapy because they have to pay for it. So they're not advertising it, but like, free therapy for most people who have health insurance. So like, you can just go ask, like, you know, because I literally signed up for therapy expecting to pay for it. I was not notified that therapy is free by my health insurance. Right.
Who did you ask? The like therapist or the health insurer?
So I asked my therapist. She was like, so normally you have a copay, but your insurance sent me a note that it's free right now. And she was like, actually it's this way for most people who have health insurance.
Who's your health insurance?
I have United Healthcare.
I have Anthem. I'm going to have to look into that. I've been thinking about doing some telehealth lately.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. And honestly, and that was also something that kind of, I was like, I don't know if I want to go back to therapy for telehealth, because like, traditionally, I've always gone into a therapist's office. But like, if you find the right therapist, like, it's really great. It's almost, I mean, I'm practically sitting in her office. It's almost no difference. I feel safe in my home. I feel comfortable in my home. And that's something that, you know, that might not work out if you don't feel that way. But you can also like, man, I'm like, go take your laptop somewhere with Wi-Fi, but like, pandemic. I don't know. It's different. But like, if you are in a comfortable environment that makes you feel safe, like, I think it's awesome, because I don't have to take off of work. I do therapy 3 times a week just during my lunch break, and I don't have to go anywhere.
That's amazing. I'm gonna look into that, and I'm gonna probably also tell some more people who I feel should probably know about it, because
I had no idea. And she told me that they're not going to announce it because they don't want to pay for every single person to go get free therapy, which is stupid if they're offering it, but they're not putting that out to the people who are paying for their services.
I'll go figure.
Yeah. So it might not be for everybody, but it's like totally worth a shot, because therapy is expensive. It's not cheap.
Speaking of people not having internet, that reminds me, I saw like a headline a little bit ago, and it was talking about how it was like an article written about like West Virginia schools, mm-hmm. and just like the things that kids have been having to do to be able to learn from home. Some people that don't have Wi-Fi or internet in their homes, like, these kids are literally getting on their four-wheelers and driving with their laptops and book bags on their bags, on their backs, like, through the mountains to get somewhere to use public Wi-Fi. If any of you have driven through West Virginia, like I have and you have, that is horrifying to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You run wrong turn and you're dead.
Yep.
Those mountains are insane.
Yeah. That's crazy. And like, yeah. I'm positive that rural areas are rural and poverty stricken areas are definitely the places that like are having to go through the most shit to get their kid able to do virtual learning, or they don't have an option and then their kid has to go into school and be at risk of being exposed because they like can't get to Wi-Fi. Like there's just no way.
It's really sad right now to think about all of the kids who like this would have been their first year of college, or this would have been their first year of high school, or this would have been they're going into kindergarten, and like they're missing a huge milestone. Like each one of them is missing something different. At the same time though, it's ridiculous. It is insane to think that you could send kids back into schools right now and shit's like not gonna hit the fan. JMU is completely like shut down. They were open for 4 days.
That they even opened up because they knew, they had to know that was gonna happen. So what, you open up for 4 days, you let kids make each other all fucking sick, and then you close down and either A, send them back to where they live so they can go spread it there, or they're all just going to be festering in a dorm together. Like, was it worth those 4 days trying to be open? Because guess what? I can probably fucking tell you that it's some fucker at the top who doesn't give a shit. And he's like, no, you fucking open it. And like, cause I haven't been in situations, not exactly like this at my work, but there are just tons of times that everybody's like, this is going to happen. And the stupid idiot at the top, who's like never worked at the bottom, is like, no, do it. And you do it and it gets fucked up. And then like, you know, silence from them. And it's like, were those 4 days worth it? Absolutely not.
No, and they're not worth it. I think all of it was just a tuition scam because they knew it was going to happen. Like, I went to JMU. JMU is a party school in many aspects of the word. Like, those kids don't listen. There's so many entitled. Okay, and I'm not trying to talk shit on you if you're from Nova, Northern Virginia. But there are a lot of kids who are from Northern Virginia at that school, and they have never been told no a day in their lives, and they're like, my parents paid for me to come here and I'm gonna party if I want and blah blah blah. The pictures of people not wearing masks at the frat houses, like it's insane.
I think honestly, I mean, it's never gonna be admitted to, but I do think that it is a tuition scam, because at least at the university that I attend, there is a drastic drop in cost of tuition for taking online classes versus going in. So these kids, like, they're going to lose a lot of money if they have everyone pay online tuition. They're still going to, I mean, you know, they're still getting tuition, but they're going to lose a lot of money. And so if they have kids on campus for 4 days, oh, but you were there taking on, you know, you are an in-person student. You were there, right? So we're gonna now charge you your regular in-person tuition, even though you're gonna be doing it online the whole rest of the semester.
Yeah, I don't even think here they're changing the tuition rates. Like, online or not, you're paying the same. I'm pretty sure Steven's tuition is the exact same as it would have been had he been in person, which is...
Really?
Absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Yeah. At least I go to a public university in Colorado, CU Denver, and there's a huge difference in the cost for attending in person versus online.
Denver seems to give more of a fuck than Virginia.
Yeah. Also, did you know, if anybody wants to go to school in Colorado and move out here. So in Virginia, we both went to Blue Ridge, and you know, if you had like a 3.0 or above, you had like guaranteed access to JMU. Like you got in because that's a sister school. And I remember thinking, oh, that's so nice of them. Like, how nice. That's so generous. And I come out here, my brother attends community college here. He has to have like a 2.5, and he gets any access to any Colorado public university. And we have so many good ones. We have a lot of really good public universities out here. You have to get like a 2.5 and you can get into any of them. You can have access to any of them because they don't fucking want to.
Yeah. That's insane. I mean, I feel like on the East Coast, 3.0 is the minimum for like anything, like high school or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's like maybe a cross between like, some people might say like, do they have lower standards? But like our universities are very well ranked. Mm-hmm. And also I think like, they just don't want to like deny, if you want higher education and you pay for it, why the fuck not?
Yep. Fuck it.
You pay me? Sure. Sure.
Fuck you, pay me.
You pay me? Sure, you come in. Like, yeah, it's fine. So.
The next thing I think we wanted to talk about was, wait, okay, so we have three things. One, dragging Trump out of the White House.
Oh, physically.
Physically. Two, Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. And three, Cuties on Netflix. So let's start with dragging Trump out, because I thought that was the funniest damn headline. I didn't read into the article, but for anyone who's like not an avid Twitter person like I am, and I mean even Rose like checks Twitter for things, even though she doesn't use her Twitter, she still like looks at it for news, as do many people, because it gets like live updates, like why not? But there was a headline on Twitter, and it was 100% serious, and it was like, what will we do if Trump refuses to walk out of the White House? And it's like, literally, we are living in a parallel universe, okay? Because they are really thinking about how they're going to forcibly, physically remove this stupid fucking man down the White House steps if he refuses to come out, if he's not reelected, when he's not reelected. I'm not going to say if he's not getting reelected. I'm not going to let, it's not happening.
Yep.
No.
So I have heard the same thing, that there is a team of people who have been put together to come up with multiple plans on how to forcibly remove him when he is not elected, because he will refuse to leave. Like, the White House, the Democrats have a team of people, which I'm fine paying for. But like, this is real. And I don't know if he has openly said, no, I won't leave, but he has definitely said that, I mean, here's the thing is, he's not going to get reelected, but I do think it's going to be close. And he's going to call it. He's, you know, if he doesn't win, when he doesn't win, he's going to think, oh, this is a scam. We're going to recount or whatever he wants to do. He's not going to win. That's just plain and simple. He's not going to win. We're putting that to the universe. But
hold on. You got to do the manifestation thing. He's not going to win. I wish you guys could see this.
Okay. If you want to know, it looked, I mean, we looked like we were in an 80s exercise.
We look like we're pulling stuff off the shelves. That's right. What we're doing. Anyways, right. Continue.
So on top of there being a team put together to figure out how they're going to remove the stale Cheeto, there is also a team of people who are trying to figure out, so Trump's not going to get reelected, but he will be in office from November until February, right? February is when the new president comes in.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. No.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, yeah. So he's going to be elected out, but he will still be in office until February, I want to say it's like February 23rd or something. I can't remember. and that's like move out day and like move in day for the new guy. And there are a, what's scary, what's really fucking scary is Biden will win, but there are still things that Trump could do. There are. He's a schemy, slimy man, and he won't be afraid to use those things. But there are things he could do to try and stay in office, like calling martial law on protesters. There's a million reasons right now that he could call martial law, that we're in a state of emergency. And there's just, there are a lot of things that he could potentially try to scheme up. I think that's what they're saying, like he's going to refuse to leave. I don't think it's going to be like, but I think I won. Like, it's not going to be that. It's going to be, no, I get to stay here because we're in a state of emergency and I'm kind of the person in power, so I'm going to stay. So like there are things that he's probably going to try to come up with in between that November to February timeframe as a reason why he can stay. And like, that's the fear.
I thought they meant more like he was going to bring a bomb or something. I thought that's what that meant.
I mean, the big toddler has access to the big red button too. So, you know.
The big toddler has access to the big red button.
But so I think that's the biggest fear is like, okay, when he loses, he's gonna have plenty of time, and he's already probably thinking of ways to get around the Constitution that he can stay. And that's, he's gonna have excuses as to why he can stay. Also, why the fuck was he even trying to get his, he was like trying to get his followers to say like 12 more years. Like he thinks that he can even like break the constitutional law of having two terms. Bitch, if anybody's getting another term, it's not you. Okay.
Yeah.
A third term. He's so frustrating. He is so frustrating. And oh, and then yeah, we were talking about the Bob Woodward phone call, which probably a lot of people have heard listening by now. The phone call that he had with Bob Woodward back in February, just plainly stating he knew how deadly it was. He knew it was deadly to elderly people, people who who are at risk for whatever reason, and also children. Like he knew it all back in February and has been playing it down, openly admitted. He said, yeah, I'm always going to play it down because I don't want to produce panic. Okay, sorry, you're like not my parent. It's not your job to, okay. And also on the whole, like not creating panic, like you thrive off of creating panic. So we all know that was just a BS excuse, but like, can you imagine the governor of Florida knowing that there was a giant ass hurricane that was gonna kill hundreds of thousands of people headed towards Florida, and he didn't say a word so that they couldn't prepare? But, oh, I didn't want to create panic. No, you gotta tell people that there's a freaking hurricane headed their way and that they could die from it and they need to either leave or they gotta prepare. And how dare you? Like,
yeah, because you didn't tell people, because you didn't want them to panic, we had a TP shortage.
Mm-hmm. You know the real reason, because he doesn't give a shit about anybody's life except his own. We all know that. But he doesn't even give a shit if people are in mass panic and chaos. It's happening right now. We live in a time where there is mass panic and chaos happening everywhere for a multitude of reasons. The real reason why he didn't tell us is because he didn't want the stock market to crash. He didn't want it to affect his wallet, which it did end up crashing, but it gave him time to tell him and all his rich buddies to pull out and sell all of their stocks before it crashed, which is what happened.
Yep. Essentially. And there was a TP shortage.
Fuck you. There was panic and chaos. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that, oh, and Woodward, which I keep referring to as Squidward, because I think that sounds way cooler. So Squidward also asked Trump about the this is not the same interview. This was one he did at the end of March or early April. I think it was actually early April. And he was asking Trump about Black Lives Matter, the whole movement, because that had just happened. The protests had just started. And he asked Trump, like, do you think you have white privilege? Like, or in, you know, just asking him, like, do you think that Black people are, like, affected at such a higher rate than white people in this country? And all he said was, oh man, you really drank the Kool-Aid, didn't you? You believe that? Like,
oh my and God.
Yeah. So we gotta get this guy out because he's fucking shit up at a rate that I can't even, like, I can't even believe anymore. And for anyone listening, if you haven't heard those phone calls, you should go listen to them. They're all over the internet now. But I almost, like, can't even fathom how all of this stuff is so public. And first of all, he still has followers. Like, okay. And second of all, like, he's still allowed to run the country when all of this shit has, it's open, it's out there, it's true.
I mean, look at the stuff that resurfaced from, like, 2000 to 2015 of all the horrible things he said about women and raping women and how when you're famous, you can do anything because you're famous and trying to have sex with married women. Nobody gave a shit when he did any of that. Why would anybody give a shit? Would anyone care what he was saying now if they didn't care when he was literally talking about banging his own daughter?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a surprise that nobody cares.
Yep. Yeah. So that happened this week. Did something else happen? I mean, there's literally been a million things.
A million and one things happened.
Oh, and I think she's, like, the head PR person, Kaylee McEnany, which she just has to defend everything that comes out of his mouth. So she looks even more stupid because she has to defend the stupid shit that he tweets and says. But she did an interview with a CNN person. I swear to God, his name is Cuomo. I don't know why I think that. I swear.
Is it Governor Cuomo?
It's someone on CNN, and you know what? He looks like Governor Cuomo. That's why I keep wanting to call him that, but they kind of look the same. So he asked her, he was like, hypothetically, Kaylee, let's just say, because, you know, shit's coming out about Trump, let's just say he comes out and openly says, I am racist. Like, let's just say that's a situation. Would you still support him? Yes or no? And she went on this long rant about, like, why this, well, you know, this and this and then the Democrats and the, and he interrupted her and he's like, your answer should have been no. Like, it's everything.
If you really want to get a full idea of just how much of a shit show this week is, let me read to you some of the trending headlines in the past hour on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
One, global warming is getting worse. Two, Trump confirms he wanted to assassinate Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in 2017. Three, climate change will displace millions in America. Where will they go? Four, what will happen if Donald Trump doesn't accept the election result? Five, ICE deports key witness in sexual assault investigation at immigrant detention center. Six, new coronavirus cases have reached record levels in the Midwest. Seven, a vaccine won't be available for everyone before the end of 2024, says CEO of world's biggest producer. And another one, Hurricane Sally threatens the Gulf Coast ahead of its Wednesday morning landfall. We're all going to die.
Yeah. See you on the other side. Shit. What else? Just keep Keep going.
Here's a good one. The middle of a pandemic is not the time to buy a new house. My friend that just got married just bought a house the day before she got married. So please don't tell her that.
I was conflicted about that because when this whole thing, so Nathan and I did not want to re-sign our lease this May. We wanted to buy a townhome, and that didn't happen because the pandemic, and I was like, now doesn't seem like a good time. But then the housing market became like a buyer's market. You know, the prices were going low. People were just trying to sell their houses. You could get a great interest rate and all these things that were like, I kind of consider like luring in buyers and potentially taking advantage of them during a unprecedented event. And at first I was like, shit, we missed a whole opportunity. Like, we could have gotten a better house than we would have normally gotten because prices dropped or whatever. But honestly, and I mean, they're still pretty low in Denver right now, and Denver is expensive as hell. Okay, like when I like look at our budget and you like type that in for the houses, like around here, it's depressing the things you get. But honestly, I am still kind of glad because Nathan and I really want to move to the mountains, and we don't know that we want to settle for a house like in Denver, but in order for us to move to the mountains, like we both have to like work from home because there's no jobs out there. So like, and I'm more focused on making that happen. So I am kind of glad. But I don't know, like, there are tons of people who are buying houses right now because there's deals, but like, is it like you're, you know, like, is it like not, is it appearing to be a good deal, but then, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how people who've bought houses during this whole thing, like, was that a good move? Like, let us know. Do you think that was a good move? Have you done that?
Everybody, all the things that are saying like, don't buy a house right now.
What's the reason?
So there's one thing that says like putting $50,000 into a down payment foregoes earning higher returns on a low fee index fund, which is more liquid and less expensive to manage. I don't even know what that means. Basically, it's just saying that like you're gonna regret it because you're gonna end up owing more anyways. I don't really know. I'll have to look into that. But then there's another one that says, oh my God. It says, Trump is open to a 4-hour long debate with Joe Biden on Joe Rogan's podcast. I quit.
Wow.
Trump is like, I'm open to it. I'm open to being on the podcast. I'm open to being on the show. It'll get cooler. It's gonna be great.
God.
I feel like I'm way too good at that.
You really are. You really are.
If anyone was gonna ask me, I'd say, yeah, I'll be on the podcast.
Oh my God. The thing is that I don't know. So I have a theory that I really believe is true. So most people who have an influence, a platform, per se, the president of the United States, have a PR team that would never let him tweet all of the shit he tweets, say the shit that comes out of his mouth, interview with the people that he interviews, like the Bob Woodward interview. That guy, that reporter exposed Nixon for Watergate. And Trump's like, yeah, put him on the phone. I'll talk to him. I'll spill my beans. So the thing is that his team, he's a dictator. He's a narcissist. No one can tell him what to do. You disagree with him and you're on his staff, you're fired. So people can't tell him anymore, hey, don't do this interview, bad press. He's a celebrity and he sees press, all press, as being good press. And there is, to an extent, like, there is meaning in that saying, but like, maybe when you're trying to sell a product, not be the president of the United States and try to get reelected. So he is just, I think personally that he's ruining his chances even more by what he's doing. But because his staff can't stand up to him, they just have to go along with whatever the fuck he wants and kiss his golden asshole. That, like, he's gonna go and do whatever he wants, and he's fucking himself in the ass because, like, dude,
kiss his golden asshole. Kiss his golden asshole. You heard it here first, folks. Kiss his golden asshole.
So, you know, keep going on the podcasts. Keep taking the phone calls from interviewers that expose people and get them impeached, even though you've already been impeached. Because you're just gonna, like, please convince yourself, because your staff can't tell you no anymore. No one can tell you no, literally, because you think you run the world. So,
golden asshole, I'm fucking done.
That's my theory as to why he's even allowed to talk to these people, because who in their right mind would interview with that guy and tell him that information? You're a fucking idiot. Golden. Also, I am also kind of pissed that Bob Woodward waited this long to release that phone call. It was just to promote his book. He came out with a book and he released it, and he used that, like, releasing that phone call, because it was in the book, but he waited to release it until now so that he could profit off of it. And it's like, bro, could you have, like, released that a little sooner?
I think he pulled the same card as Trump's niece, Mary, the one that we just bought her book, because she did the same thing. Like, she released all of that, those recordings, because of that. And, like,
but, like, well, so I mean, I'm glad they're released, because, like, we needed to know, we needed to hear that stuff. And I get they're promoting their book, but also, like,
I don't know. I feel like there's certain things you can't put out there because you'll get killed, especially if they're about the president.
That's true. You probably have to have all your ducks in a line and your legal team, and because anything that comes out about Trump, he tries to get on a banned book list. But it's kind of funny that all of his ex-staff are, like, writing books, because, like, who was his top advisor? Who, like, I think he did jail time. Came out with a book.
I don't know.
Shit. I can't remember his name.
He wrote a book. I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember.
The last just a reminder, before we move on to the next topic, if you're not registered to vote, please go do that shit.
Yes, go register to vote. I've been getting things in the mail every single day that is like, are you registered? Are you registered? And I'm like, yes, I am.
Yes, someone called me and it was from the Democratic Party. And I don't usually answer unknown numbers, but I was, like, working and all of my calls are forwarded to my cell, so I have to answer everything. And they were like, hi, I'm just calling from, like, the Democratic to see if you were voting for Joe Biden. And I was like, yep, don't got to tell me twice. And he was like, so besides getting Trump out of office, what are your major, or, like, what do you really love about Joe Biden? And I was like, I just want Trump out of office. Thanks. Bye.
I'm not going to sit over here and make it a love fest about Biden.
Yeah, because I don't love him, but whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I just had to, like, get adjusted because my legs fell asleep and everybody just heard my old lady noises.
If you guys can hear my dogs banging on the door and growling, I'm sorry. But anyways, so the last two things that we wanted to talk about today, this is definitely just one of those episodes where we're just shit talking the whole entire globe because that's what we like to do best. Yep. So first of all, if anybody has not heard of this, I don't really suggest that you go and watch it, to be honest, because you're making money for Netflix by doing this, and the whole point is to boycott it and not give them money. But Cuties is, like, this little weird documentary that Netflix put on their site, and like everybody, even I think the government has like even said like this is directly in support of like pedophilia, like you should not have this up here. And Netflix like straight up responded and was like, we like they said something totally like, hold on, maybe I can Google it really quick. I want to look up Netflix. No, guys, here's some good ASMR, my keyboard, if you can hear that. Netflix's response to cuties. Here it is. They said something that was, like, totally off the wall, like, they called the documentary a social commentary about the pressures that young girls face in conforming to, like, societal norms of beauty and sexuality, and they're trying to defend this documentary as being a social commentary like against the sexualization of young children, which in theory sounds like a good idea. But then if you go and see the actual documentary, and I've only seen clips that have popped up on Twitter, it's disgusting. It is literally disgusting. These are these little girls. They're probably like
10,
8 to 12, probably at the most. And they're, you know, they're like dancing sexually and they're like humping the ground and they're wearing these weird little revealing outfits. And I'm just like, this is so scarring for these girls to have to act out these roles in. And you know that there are like pedophiles out there watching this, totally disregarding what Netflix says as like the meaning of this social commentary, and they're getting off to it. Like, why would you even put that out there?
I think that, so I don't know if this is just a coincidence. I mean, because obviously it takes, I think, roughly 2 years to like make a film, hypothetically. So it's not like they made it during this whole quarantine and then posted it. But there is a coincidence, and I think it's a good coincidence that people are waking up to, you know, there's the hashtag Save the Children, which is about pedophilia, especially in the Hollywood industry. The elite rich, Jeffrey Epstein, all of the people who were on his flight log going to his island where minors, girls, children were being sex trafficked, all of the were being made aware of these things. And you could say the veil has been pulled out from our eyes and we're noticing these things. And I wonder if, like, if none of this happened, the world imploding, leading to a lot of us having like an awakening and seeing life differently, figuring out what means the most to us, figuring out social constructs, like maybe we live in a matrix, all these kinds of things. And also waking up to the fact that like the elite rich in Hollywood are full of pedophiles. Would we have noticed and protested this movie if the pandemic had never happened, like leading to all these things? You know, like would it have just been another movie that fell in the list of movies on Netflix for people to use inappropriately and for them to gain money off of? But like now there are just so many more people who are awake to that. They're woke, you know, like a lot of people are just realizing what's really happening here. And I'm really glad. Like, I mean, I'm really glad, but I'm also like, thank God that we're finally standing up to this stuff. Us, the people, the populace, the majority, we have all the power. It's just that the elite wants us to think that we've had all of our power taken away from us and that money is power. But we, the people, have spoken to the point where Netflix, first of all, they also changed the description. I remember reading the description. I pulled up Netflix. I didn't watch it, but I pulled it up when I first saw this, you know, going around, and I wanted to see like, what does the cover artwork look like? Cause I heard things about that in the description, and the description was disgusting, and they have changed it. you know, because they're trying to say, oh, it was just worded wrong, we're sorry, bullshit. But, you know, like, thank God, if one good thing comes out of this pandemic, it is a mass awakening to social injustice, I mean, all kinds of injustices. And, like, we have our voice back. Like, we as a people, as a majority, have taken our power back and said, this is fucking wrong. I mean, it's still up, and that's a problem. It needs to be taken down. But they know now that, like, shit gets exposed. You can't just go about your stupid pedophile, disgusting, sick ways and get away with it anymore. Because people are paying attention and they're not staying silent, and they know that they have a voice.
This website says that in the movie, there's a scene where one little girl pulls down her underwear and takes a picture, like, of herself and then posts it on social media. Then she tries to seduce her adult cousin to get out of trouble for taking his phone to take a picture of herself. And then also at another point, she gets bullied to take a picture of a boy's, like, penis in a bathroom. I don't care what kind of message whoever made this film was trying to get across. This film was created for, like, the Sundance Film Festival, and then from there, Netflix. It's not like a Netflix original. It's like Netflix is now, you know, it's been out there for a while, but people are only knowing about it because it's on Netflix. Oh. I don't know who created this or what type of stupid fucking agenda they were trying to get across, but it's gross. It's disgusting. And, like, I wouldn't want my kid watching that. I wouldn't want my, like, I will teach my child about, like, what sexuality is. I will be the one to talk to them about, like, this is what objectification is. This is what you say or you don't do, or you do if someone is objectifying you, if someone's catcalling you. Like, I don't want a fucking documentary to teach my kid to hump the ground or to take pictures of herself. Like,
that, and, like, before, because I haven't watched it, and the first thing I heard, the first clapback from, like, the director was, oh, I made this to actually bring awareness.
Yeah.
Pedophilia or something along those lines. And I haven't
watched, aware of it. Trust us, we're aware of it.
And I didn't know anything about the storyline, hadn't seen the cover artwork yet. All I knew is that people were talking about this, and then I heard that, and I was like, okay, well, they're bringing awareness. Like, what's the thing? Like, what's happening? Why are people so angry? And that's when I started looking into it. But, like, if you want, first of all, like, I really hope to God I can teach my kids that, like, growing up and thinking that, like, you have to participate in all of these things is, like, wrong, and it's pressure, it's a social construct, like, and the fact that they just made a video, a movie about it and just, like, acted it out.
That's gross.
That's not bringing awareness. Sure, it's bringing awareness just to, like, no, it's not bringing any kind of awareness. That's
not to mention, that is not, what are they doing to protect those child actors now? Those actresses, like, they're just out there, like, any old creep could have seen this and hunted down the girl's name and her address and just, like,
yep.
And speaking of pedophiles, so I don't know if you heard about California passing the law about this sex offender. Okay, so I didn't understand this, so I started snooping online, and just a disclaimer for anyone who's, like, very triggered by stuff to do with, like, you know, sexual assault or, there goes my dog, hold on, anyone who is triggered by, like, sexual assault or sex offenders, please just end the podcast here. I don't want to, like, offend anybody. I don't want anybody to feel any, like, discomfort. But so the California governor Newsom signed the legislation which changed the state's sex offender law to allow judges to have a say on whether or not someone is listed as a sex offender for having, like, oral or anal, not vaginal, like sex with a minor. So the whole point of it was to make the laws the same for same sex situations and, you know, like a man and a woman or whatever, or a man and a girl or vice versa. But basically what it means, like there's something that I read, if the age gap is larger than 10 years, that is when they'll say that it was like, you know, rape, statutory or not. So a 24-year-old man can have sex with a 14-year-old boy, and that's like legal now? Is that like what am I understanding that correctly?
I actually only recently saw that, like in the past few days, so I haven't done enough research on it to know, but it doesn't, yeah, that's kind of pretty much what it sounds like.
I don't understand it. Like, how, why are people who are in the LGBTQ community like seeming happy about it? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand what good has this done someone. Like, all I'm understanding is that like people are allowed to get away with rape. Yeah.
So what I have picked up on and something, so I don't, this is all my own opinion. I don't think that the LGBTQ community approves of it. But I think what happened, and this is because my brother actually said this the other day, and it's something that I feel like, not that we've been indoctrinated to, but that we grew up hearing, especially prior to same-sex marriage being legal, because we lived most of our lives and that was not legal. And I heard for the longest time, and my brother like said it again, because we were talking about this last time I was speaking to him. I grew up hearing, well, if we make gay marriage legal, we're going to have, like, pedophiles are going to come out and say, well, our love is love too. And pedophiles have used the LGBTQ community to justify their agenda, what they want. And so the LGBTQ community is like stuck in this shit where it's like, especially right when gay marriage was become legal, people were, a fear tactic was used to try and keep gay marriage illegal by saying, well, if we make we're saying all love is love. And if we let gay people get married, then pedophiles are going to want to marry children. And we can't have that, right? So we can't let gay people get married. And that was an argument. It's not an argument because pedophilia hurts people. A gay relationship and a gay marriage doesn't hurt anybody. Pedophilia hurts people. That's the difference. My brother brought that up and he was like, yeah, well, pedophiles are now saying that they should be legal because like their love is love too. And he said that. And I was like, boy, you were fed that agenda to make you fearful of gay marriage. And it has continued, even though, so it, gay marriage is legal now, and the pedophilia community is still using that argument. They get to have love. How come we can't have love? Your love hurts people. That's the difference.
Love is not love. It's literally assault.
Right, exactly. So I think that's just an argument that has been used to try and fulfill an agenda by pedophiles. And also it was used to scare people out of wanting gay marriage to be legal because they wanted the government, the conservative government wanted you to think that making gay marriage legal was a slippery slope to pedophilia being legal.
Well, this article at the very bottom says this measure won't apply when a minor is under 14, when the age gap is larger than 10 years, or when either party says that the sexual act wasn't consensual. So that leaves room for loopholes, I think, sounds like. So, okay.
But why even pass it at all?
So if a person is if a person's 15, but someone was 26, that means it's not legal. But if a person's 14 and the other person's 24, that's legal? That's a child. I don't, like, 14-year-olds don't, their brains aren't fully formed. Like, that's...
No. And the issue with, like, if them saying, oh, well, if it wasn't consensual, then we'll mark it as whatever. But, like, a 14-year-old doesn't always have the ability to stand up for themselves and say, no, this was not consensual. Like, a 14-year-old, I mean, that's sending a 14-year-old to court without their own lawyer and saying, defend yourself against this 25-year-old.
I think that partially what people are glad about with this law being passed is apparently there was a law in place previously that in California, judges were able to decide if a man should be placed on California's sex offender registry if he had voluntary vaginal intercourse with someone 14 to 17 years old and was no more than 10 years older than the person. This bill expands that same discretion to, like, gay people. So I get that, but I still feel like there's a, like, am I not, is something not clicking in my brain? Because I'm still thinking, like,
no, I don't.
Like, 14, so if, what would it look, okay, so if they're just now passing it that, like, oh, if you're a 14-year-old boy and a 24-year-old man wants to have, like, relations with you, like, that's fine. Was it like that before? If you're 14 years old and a 14-year-old man wants to have, like, a 14-year-old girl and a 24-year-old man, like, that, like, I don't understand.
Either way, it's wrong. Either way. I don't get it. I don't know. The only thing that my brain can go to is men. I think the majority of the people who are on sex offender lists are men. I could be wrong. But it's the patriarchy trying to save their fucking ass.
The more you
can be put on that list, if currently, well, not in California, but like in Virginia, if you're 20 and you have sex with a 17-year-old, sure, you're 3 years apart. Technically, no matter if it was consensual or not, like, they could get in trouble for that. And there are people who just want to bend the rules, and I honestly just think it's the elitists who think they can get away with shit like that. Like, I can't think of a reason to put out that law.
I feel like we're missing something about it because I don't know. I feel like we're missing some type of info. Like, it's not sure, like, exactly. I need it explained in layman's terms because something's not clicking.
Yeah.
And like, I don't.
Why would that happen?
I don't think that we're getting the full story. I'm super confused, but I mean, for anybody who didn't know that's like going on, this is your notification to go and research it yourselves. And if you like, if you fully understand it or like you're part of the LGBTQ community and you would like to explain to me exactly what this bill means, like, please do. Like, I'm not going to take offense if you inform me, because I've read like 3 articles and I still don't understand like what exactly the bill means. Because in my brain it's like, oh, we're saying that anybody can be banging anyone as long as they're 14 and you're 10 years older than them. That's what I'm getting from it, and I hope that's not it.
Right.
So that was this week's episode. If you made it this far, congratulations. I think this is like 2 hours long. But yeah, I don't know how we ended on that note.
Right.
Don't forget to follow our Instagram at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. We are almost to 600 followers on Spotify. That's crazy. That's amazing. And Yeah, I don't have anything else. Oh my God. Okay. My dog's starting to go crazy, so I'm going to sign off here.
Everybody have a great week.
And we will talk to you next Wednesday. Bye. Don't forget to vote.
Yeah, seriously.
Register to vote.
Okay, bye.